Good morning. Shall we open our Bibles this morning at the Epistle to the Ephesians? The Epistle to the Ephesians. I think we've been in the Epistle to the Ephesians since we started this weekend, and we're going to continue there for a little while anyway. We've been thinking in the past day of the pictures of the church as the building that the Lord Jesus is building, and as the bride of Christ. And today we're going to think of the third beat. It's such a big subject that it's going to take us both messages today to think of this third B, and that B is the body, the body. We've noticed that both the building and the bride are included in the Epistle to the Ephesians. So let's see if we can find the body in this same epistle. Let's come to the first chapter of Ephesians, first of all. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to get in at the middle of a sentence. I hope you don't mind that. Let's read in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's turn to the second chapter, chapter 2 of Ephesians, and let's read in verse 16. We read this yesterday. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. Chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his holy book, and I'd like you to keep your Bibles handy, for we have not finished reading, and we're going to look at some other passages as we study this very great subject. Let's bow for a moment in prayer, please. Oh God, our Father, we thank thee for the joyful privilege that we have had this morning of remembering the Lord Jesus and of together worshipping thee and praising thy great name. We thank thee for this lovely day that thou hast given to us. Help us, we pray thee, to glorify thee in it. And now as we come to study thy word, we recognize our deep need of thee, and we pray thy blessing and thy presence with us. Guide us into all truth by thy Spirit, we pray, and help us not only to learn and understand and know, but also to be obedient to thy word. For we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The pyramids, the hanging gardens of Babylon, the temple of Diana, the Colossus of Rome. And I'm sure there are bells ringing in your mind and you're remembering back to your school days. Some of you haven't far back to remember. And you'll know that these are four of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Most of us learned that when we were at school. And somebody has compiled a list of seven of the wonders of the natural world. They include Mount Everest and Victoria Falls and the Grand Canyon and the Great Barrier Reef and so forth. But if I were given the choice of writing the seven wonders of the ancient world or the modern world or the natural world or whatever world, there is one wonder that I would include in every list. And that is the wonder of you and the wonder of me. The wonder of the human body. For you know, the greatest wonder that you can ever see is the wonder that you look into, that you see when you look into the mirror and you look at yourself. The wonder of your face, the wonder of your eyes, the wonder of your ears, the wonder of the human body. God has made this human body and He's made it very wonderful. The psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we could think this morning for hours of the amazing wonders of the human body. Think of the wonder of the chemical laboratory, or laboratory as you say here, that the human body is. The wonder of the chemical processes that go on in this body every moment, every second of your life. Whether you're aware of them or not, whether you're awake or asleep, there are processes that go on every moment of your body. Every time you ingest a tiny morsel of food, every time an infection invades your body, every time you flex a muscle, every time you draw a breath, important chemical processes are going on in your body, far more complex than most of the processes that go on in the biggest labs in the United States of America. A chemical laboratory. And think of the wonder of the world's greatest transportation system. And that greatest transportation system is the 60 to 100,000 miles of vascular highways that are included in your body, along which there drive each day, each moment, millions of vehicles, red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets to every part of the body. An amazing transportation system. And think of the wonder of the telephone system that's your body. The brain and spinal cord with all the nerves, the cerebral nerves, the nerves of the head and the nerves of the spine that go out to the ends of your body, that convey impulses to and from the brain every second and every moment of your life. The body is an amazing wonder. But you know, there are some spiritual wonders of the human body that are even more wonderful than the natural physical wonders of the human body. Let me recite two or three of the spiritual wonders of the body, and you can add to them. First of all, this body was made by God Himself. God, the great Creator, designed and framed your human body. And so the psalmist said, as I've indicated, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, because it was God that made us, and it was God that planned us, and it was God that designed it. But there's a second wonder of the human body that amazes me every time I think of it. And that is the wonder that the Creator of the universe, the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory, deigned to descend to earth and to live in a human body, to be born in a body, to walk in a body, to speak in a body, and to die in a body. Isn't that amazing? That the God of heaven should choose to become manifest in flesh and dwell in a human body. And there's a third wonder that's almost just as wonderful. And that is that the Spirit of God, the one whom we call the third person of the Trinity, not that He's any inferior to the Father or the Son, but the Spirit of God, who is God the Spirit, deigns to dwell in your body and in my body if we belong to the Lord Jesus. These bodies of ours are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And He dwells within us day by day. He uses these lips and these hands and these feet. He uses these bodies to accomplish His purposes for His glory. Isn't that an amazing thing? And there's still another wonder of the human body, and that's a spiritual wonder, and there are more than these. And the fourth wonder is the wonder that the Spirit of God Himself deigns to choose the human body as a picture of God's masterpiece, the church. You see, this epistle tells us that God has an inheritance in the saints, and that inheritance is the saints of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God loves it. God loves you and me. And the Spirit of God has chosen the human body as an example, as a picture, as an illustration of that body. And this is what we're going to study today. It's a subject that's contained in many passages of the New Testament, in the Epistle to the Romans, in the First Epistle to the Corinthians, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, and in the Epistle to the Colossians. The Apostle Paul loved this simile. I don't think Paul was a doctor or an anatomist or a physiologist, but he certainly loved to use the picture of the body as an example and illustration of what the church is. And we're going to look at that illustration today. I don't think I need to tell you, we all know, that the body has certain principles on which it functions. You don't need to be a doctor to know these principles. You don't need to study anatomy and physiology to understand these principles. All you need to know, all you need to do is to be in a body, to be a human being, and to think of your human body, and you'll discover that there are principles that govern the workings of the human body. And the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit, has taken some of these principles of the human body, and he's applied them to the picture of the body as an illustration of the church of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at these principles this morning and this evening and see how they apply to the church as a picture of the body to the church of Christ, and the body as a picture of that church. Let's think of some of these principles there. The first principle of the body, and we all recognize this, is the authority of the head. The authority of the head. You see, when you bend a finger, your head gives that command to do that bending. When you do any act, voluntary or involuntary, the process is designed by something in the head, by a nerve reaction that goes on in the brain. And these reactions and these processes are worked out by the head of the body. The head has the authority in the human body. And just as the head has the authority in the human body, so our head has the authority in his body, the body of Christ. Now, of course, the head of the body is the Lord himself. He's not only the builder of the building of the church. He is the head of the body, which is the church. And we have to recognize the headship and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the headship and his authority is not recognized, the body will not function as it should function. What happens when the body is cut off from the head? Well, it sometimes happens. You've seen a person who has had a stroke. As a result of that stroke, the members of the body, a limb or two limbs or more than that, are cut off from the head. As a result of that, that limb is paralyzed. It doesn't respond to the commands from the head. It doesn't obey the head's authority. And the result is that the body is all out of function. And there are other conditions that result from the fact that the authority of the head is not responded to, usually as a result of injury or disease. And so it is in the spiritual body, the body of Christ. It's vitally important that the members of the body keep in touch with the head and respond to his authority. Well, what does it mean then to recognize the authority of the Lord Jesus as head? Let's come to the Epistle to the Colossians, which is one of the other passages in the Word of God that speaks about the body of the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians, the emphasis is on the body in relation to the head. In Colossians, the emphasis is on the head in relation to the body. In Colossians, the Lord Jesus Christ is pointed out as the supreme authority. Let's come to Colossians chapter 1, please. This is a great passage. Let's read from verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. These verses are some of the great verses in the Bible about your Savior and my Savior. They tell us of his relationship to the universe, to all of creation. They tell us that he's the great creator, that everything in our world was made by him, and that everything in our world is sustained by him, and that everything in our world moves toward him. He is the aim of everything. He is the architect. He is the agent, and he is the aim of all creation. But they also tell us of the relationship of the Lord Jesus, not only to creation, but to the church. Let's read verse 18 again. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And the very first thing we notice about the headship of the Lord Jesus is that we have to recognize his preeminence. What does preeminence mean? It simply means the first place. It means that we must give him the first place in everything, recognizing the preeminence of the Lord Jesus. Notice three words that are said about him in relation to the body. First of all, he is the head. That signifies his authority. Secondly, he is the beginning. That tells us his priority. And thirdly, he is the firstborn from the dead. And the word firstborn in the scripture not only indicates firstborn in time, but firstborn in rank. So that indicates superiority. This verse tells us that the Lord Jesus has authority, has priority, has superiority. And our responsibility as members of his body is to recognize his authority.